He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Old school Britney Spears. I kind of miss that song. And side note to that song, if you watch the video of it, you'll notice when she's in the gym and there's the cute guy with the blonde awesome hair sitting on the side holding the basketball, and that's kind of her love interest. That happens to be my second cousin. So technically, I am familiar with Britney Spears through all of that. So there you go. Little to-do there. You can reach us on the Gallatin Valley Sports Show at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also, IanLaird3 on the Twitter if you want to get a hold of me that way. The Gallatin Valley Sports Show, like every week, is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs, food, and drink specials, you can catch all of the big games located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Lots of sports news to talk about today, including Fast Kids in the Valley. School name for Bozeman High is narrowed down, or new Bozeman School is narrowed down to two, it seems. Belgrade shoots down taxes to pay for education. We'll talk about that if we have time. Very disappointing out there in Belgrade. And Bobcat football to be paid big money for playing FBS schools in these next couple years. We'll get into that as well. But first, as always, we have national news. We'll start in the NBA playoffs. Golden State took a 3-2 lead last night with a 104-99 win over the Rockets. The good news for the Rockets is Kevin Durant went down in the second half, about 2 minutes left in the third quarter, really, with a calf injury, and it is unknown if he can play the rest of the series. I can't see him playing the next game, but we'll get into that in a minute. The bad news for the Rockets is they still couldn't beat the Warriors without Durant on the floor. Harden only shot one shot in the last 8 minutes of the game, even with Durant out. It will come down to Houston. Can they win at home Friday and then push the Warriors to maybe bring Durant back early if they need to? I don't see a reason for Durant even to play even if he isn't that hurt in the next game. You're still up one game with a home game in Game 7. Game 7's normally at home. I think it's like 78% of the time the home team wins Game 7, so rest him for the next game. If he's out for the next two games, I think that really changes everything. Even on the road, I think Golden State was like a 3-point favorite before Durant got hurt. Now they're a 7-point underdog in the next game. Again, it's in Houston, so it's on the road for Golden State. But I really just don't see them needing him that game, but they will need him definitely if they get into a Game 7. So it'll be really interesting to see how Durant comes back from that. They don't know what the injury is. He's doing an MRI today. They don't think it's a major Achilles issue, but you never know. So hopefully we find that out. If it breaks, we will let you know here on the show. In other playoff games, Milwaukee eliminated the Boston Celtics with a 116-91 victory at home last night. The Bucks win that series 4-1 and prove that they are the hottest team in the Eastern Conference going into the finals. Toronto's going to be a tough game against them, but Giannis Antetokounmpo is just too tough, I think, for anybody in the East to handle. I think the West could with their athleticism, but the East, I don't see anybody other than the Milwaukee Bucks coming out of there. And when was the last time you ever thought you would say something like that? No, the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be the best team in the East and maybe in the NBA. Boston is a mess. I think Kyrie Irving's going to end up leaving. My guess is he goes to New York. We'll see what pans out there, but I don't think he's happy there, and they weren't happy. He was out of the playoffs last year, and they did better without him than they did this year. So I just don't think the team chemistry is there for the Celtics. And Boston has won enough things. We'll get into the NHL. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NHL as well as Boston. They just won the Super Bowl. So let's relax a little bit and let one Boston team suck. And it'll be the Celtics for at least the next year that are the worst of all of the Boston teams. Well, the Red Sox kind of suck this year too. But so we'll have to see what Boston does there, if they can improve on that or not. I really think they almost need to implode that a little bit, get rid of some of those egos, and get more to a team game like they were last year. So we'll see how that plays out. In other NBA news, Ty Lue has turned down the Lakers coaching position, as well as pretty much everybody else that they wanted on their list. They might go after Jason Kidd now, but Jason Kidd was a second thought, even an assistant coach maybe for Ty Lue. So I don't really see Jason Kidd saying, yeah, I'll be the head coach, even though you didn't want me to be. But stranger things have happened when money's involved. Now I think it is a wide-open race for who ends up being and playing for LeBron James. And let's not kid ourselves here. Whoever the coach is, you're playing or coaching for LeBron James. You're not coaching LeBron James. He is the star. He is the one that is there. So it is quite the mess in old Tinseltown right now. I really think their best move at this point, and I know it was brought up in a couple shows I saw earlier today, I kind of agree with him. I think your best move right now is to trade LeBron James to whoever has the number one pick. He wants to go to New York, so maybe wrap it into a this goes to here, and then LeBron goes to New York, and then they get the number one. But if New York ends up with the number one pick, I say you trade LeBron James and take on Zion Williamson and rebuild this program with a coach that can coach him. You don't have that ego there. That is getting older. He only missed 18 games, so it's not like it was the end of the world. But it is something you have to look at. He is getting older. You've got a bunch of young players that aren't that great. Or maybe they are a little better than they are, but they're all relying on LeBron James. So it'll be interesting to see, but I would implode it. It didn't work. Magic Johnson already left because he wants to tweet horrible tweets, and that's what he wants his life to be. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Moving on to Nick Taylor PGA news. Nick finished last week with a tie in 54th after I jinxed him on the show just a week ago. He was tied for first, and I said, here we go, and I jinxed him. He ended up 54th this week. He is teeing off this afternoon. He actually teed off just a couple minutes ago. He is even through two at this point tournament there at AT&T Byron Nelson. I was thinking it was some other one. But they are at the Byron Nelson this week. He is officially right now at even. So we'll have to see how he does this week. Nick has now made 9 straight cuts as of last week. That's 5th highest streak in the PGA so far this year. Nick has also averaged $42,000 a week in money winnings and is in the top 100 in the FedEx Cup points. So not a horrible year for the young man. I wouldn't mind making $42,000 a week. It is a lot of travel, and he has been on the road a lot, but seems to be right there. All he needs to do is kind of put it all together one of these weeks. If it's not this weekend, he's got some majors coming up that I don't know if he's going to make without a win, but he does have the Canadian Open. No Canadians won it in about 37 years, so maybe he can be the very first Canadian to win the Canadian Open in that span of time. So good luck to Nick. I'm not going to say anything more about it because I'll just jinx it. In NHL news, San Jose defeated the Colorado Avalanche 3-2 to win the series in 7 games. That sets up a Western Conference final with San Jose taking on St. Louis. St. Louis was actually the worst team in the playoffs, and they made it all the way to the Western Finals, so good for them. Sharks do have home ice. In the East, the Carolina Hurricanes will be taking on the Boston Bruins, with Boston having home ice there. Like we said earlier, Boston's great at everything except for basketball and baseball right now. Boston series starts tonight with the San Jose games starting on Saturday. Whew. And finally in sports, the Kentucky Derby was this past week, and we all know what happened. We're not going to get into too much about that. But what is interesting is both the first and second place horses have bowed out. So the one that got disqualified is out. The first place horse is out. So that's a huge blow to horse racing in my mind and makes the Preakness and the Belmont pretty much irrelevant. There's not going to be a Triple Crown because nobody's running it. None of the names that are out there right now and everyone's excited about are going to play in it. So they're or are going to run in it. So they're all out. So it really makes the Preakness and the Belmont kind of pointless. There's still big races and a bunch of people will go, but nobody's really going to watch it on TV without any kind of drama at all. It would have been better in my mind if they would have just kept the winner the same. It would have been a huge controversy and everything else. He did bump that other horse, and I do think the call was correct in the meaning or in the line of sports. When you look at it was the correct call to make. But I do think that this means that it hurts the sport. So in the true meaning of sports, I think you need to just say, you know what, we're going to let him be the winner. There'll be a bunch of controversy going into the Preakness. Can that horse now win without interfering? Will the other horses maybe even interfere with him? Who knows how that goes? But it would have added a lot of tension and a lot of great viewership to the Preakness. Without that there, it's just dead. And I know you want to say, no, it should be the rule and the true meaning of sports, but it's professional sports. Is there any true meaning and purity in that, in any of the professional sports anyways, when it comes to gambling and fixing games and players getting paid way more than anybody else in the world seems to get paid for what they do. There's no real purity in most of these sports anyways. So I say they should have just left it as it is. It would have been a great talking point, and then the Preakness would have actually been watched. But as it is now, that is not going to be the case. So we will take a quick break right now, come back with a look at high school sports. Once again, you're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Also on Twitter at IanLaird3. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, with countless TVs and food and drink specials. You can catch all the big games located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Let's jump right into high school sports from around the valley. First in Bozeman. Seems like every single week we are congratulating another stellar athlete from Bozeman High for signing to play college sports, and this week is absolutely no different. We'd like to congratulate Ted Scott. He has signed to play for the Westminster team in soccer this year. Westminster is located in Salt Lake City. So congratulations to Ted Scott, and good luck in your future, young man. In tennis, in the final match of the regular season, the Hawk girls defeated the Great Falls Bison. Lady Bison, I don't know what that would be, 8-0, and Great Falls CMR 7-1, while the boys beat Great Falls and CMR both 8-0. Hard really to point out a great individual performance when both only lost one match in a total of 34 of them. This week, the Hawks will compete in the Eastern AA divisional play beginning today in Billings. Moving on to softball, Hawks continue to struggle this season, falling to Billings Senior 13-0. They did hold them scoreless for the first three innings, so that's something to hang your hat on, I guess. The Bozeman Hawks recorded one hit, a single by Abigail McGee, and committed 10 errors. Of the 13 runs scored in the contest by the Broncos, only three were earned. So that means the other 10 runs were because of errors. That's a tough way to lose right there, but it's something at least you know you can somewhat clean up. It's not your pitching. It's not them just getting a bunch of base hits. Clean up the outfield and the infield play a little bit, and maybe you have a chance to compete in some of these games. This week, the Hawks will try to get back on track this Saturday in Great Falls as they take on the Missoula schools in Sentinel, Big Sky, and Hellgate. Odd that that's in Great Falls, but that's what the sheet says. Moving on to track and field in the Billings Triangular, the Hawk boys came in second against first place Billings West and Billings Skyview. Kevin Barrick finished second place in the high jump, clearing 6 foot, while Jonathan Wheeler won the 3200 in a time of 10 minutes, 16.28 seconds. And Jace Fasting, it's a good name for a kid that's on the track and field team. He does do field, though. He won the long jump with a distance of 21.05 feet. Both personal records. The Bozeman girls won the triangular, highlighted by several top performances. Amelia Hartsrum, victory in the 400 meter in 1 minute, 1 second, which qualified her for the Class A state meet. So congratulations to her. Senior Delaney Bond, we're going to talk a lot about her in the next couple of weeks, won the both 100 and 12.32 and the high jump at 5'3". Macy Mayer won the 300 hurdles at 50.38 seconds, and Bridget Boyle won the 1600 in 5 minutes, 21.14 seconds. Both season records for each, while Talina Anderson, won the triple jump with a personal record of 34-9. So congratulations to all the Bozeman Hawks. They are a heck of a team. It'll be interesting to see once they split the schools how they do, but keep an eye on Delaney Bond. I heard she does not want to go to college. We were talking about it before, and we'll talk a little more about it next week when we have a special track and field guest in studio with me to talk about all the divisional and state tournaments coming up. But he had mentioned that Delaney Bond might not go to college. She might skip that and get right into the job or go travel around for a while. So good for her. You're only young once, and I'm 42, and I wish I would have done a lot more things before I had two children that weigh down all of our money and our time. Moving on to Belgrade in softball. It's senior night this last week for the Panthers. It came down to one inning. The Panthers, who were undefeated going into the game, trailed Fergus by two runs after the first inning, and it didn't score until the fourth inning for the Panthers. Then they have multiple times this season they happened to recover. Belgrade scored seven runs in the sixth inning en route to a 9-5 victory on Saturday, extending its winning streak to 33 games, but that was a close one. Six Panthers combined for eight hits in the game. Panthers also took on Huntley Project last week, winning 12-1 easily in five innings. This week, Panthers will face Fergus again, so we'll see if Fergus can get it done this time and break that streak. That game is in Lewistown, so a little tougher trip for Belgrade. That'll wrap up the regular season for Belgrade going into divisionals and state. Moving on to Manhattan in track. Manhattan track teams each place fourth Saturday at the CMR Quad at Memorial Stadium in Great Falls. Boys team, the Tigers were led by Wyatt Barney and Bryce Love, who posted wins in the 400 and 800 respectively. Barney finished with a time of 51.53 seconds, while Love won it in 2 minutes and 3.88 seconds. Michael Swan had a personal best and state qualifying leap in the long jump with a mark of 20 feet, 0.47 inches. The mile relay had a season best, 4 minutes, 37, en route to a victory there as well. On the girls' side, Helena won with 115 points, followed by Belgrade at 52, Great Falls CMR at 51, and the Tigers finished at third with 46. Manhattan boasted a double winner in Alika Anderson, as always, or Severson, excuse me, as always. The sophomore won the 100-meter hurdles with a time of 16.52 and 300s in 48.60 and placed 8th in the 100 while with a time of 13.97 seconds. It's a lot of names and times. The Tigers dominated in the distance races, finishing 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the 1600, led by Haley Hemingway. The sophomore posted a time of 5 minutes, 21.79 seconds en route to placing second and was third in the 3200 with a time of 12 minutes, 14 seconds. Ruby Steinberg set a personal record in the shot put with 3104.5 inches en route to placing fifth, while Jaden Fries placed sixth. This week, Manhattan competes in the District 5B meet Thursday in Belgrade. Moving on to golf for Manhattan. Led by an effort by Jasmine Grossman, Manhattan qualified for its girls golf team for the state tournament for the first time since 2006. So let me repeat that because I butchered it that first time. Led by efforts of Jasmine Grossman, Manhattan qualified its girls golf team for the state tournament for the first time since 2006. That'll be held Tuesday in Anaconda. Grossman carded a 99 at the Class B Divisionals 3 tournament en route to placing 8th at Old Works Golf Course. That's a great golf course if you haven't played it, by the way. She led the Tigers to a fourth-place finish with a team score of 494. On the boys' side, Manhattan boys did not qualify for state, nor did an individual advance after failing to place in the top 15. So the boys are done in the year, but the girls are just going. They will make state for the first time since 2006. So congratulations to the Lady Tigers in golf. Moving down the potato fields to Manhattan Christian in golf, Jillian Frey. Capped a regular season Tuesday the same way she began in April, and that is by winning. Manhattan Christian Senior posted the lowest score en route to a victory at the Double Arrow Golf Course in Sealy Swan. Frey, who is last year's Class C state champion, carded a 97 to lead the Eagles to a team score of 442. Frey also carded back-to-back 89s en route to winning the Three Forks and Gardner Invitationals Thursday and Friday. So congratulations. Big things coming for her. This week, Frey and her teammates will return back to Sealy Swan for the three-day state tournament. A practice round will be held Monday, followed by 2 days of competition Tuesday and Thursday. So good luck to the Eagles ladies in Manhattan Christian. Moving down the I-90 a little bit to Three Forks track. First for them, Kendall Lynn and Jasmine Murray each placed in four events Saturday to lead Three Forks girls to a runner-up finish at the Stillwater meet at the Laurel Complex or Sports Complex. The Wolves finished with 62.33 points while Colstrip won the meet with 104 points. Columbus was third with 59. Lynn won the long jump with a top leap of 16 feet, 0.5 inches. The junior earned runner-up finishes in the triple jump at 34.6 inches, the 400 meters at 1 minute, 3 seconds, and the 300 hurdles at 48.62 seconds. So quite the accomplishment there from Lynn. Murray placed third in the 300 hurdles, 48.91, was fourth in both the 100 and the high jump, and fifth in the triple jump with a mark of 32 feet, 01 inches. On the boys' side, Peyton Lynn accounted for all 38 of Three Forks' points to lead the team to a sixth-place finish. Shepherd won the team event with 63 points, while Colstrip's 54 and Scobie's 50 rounded out the top three. Peyton Lynn won the javelin at 154 feet, 6 inches, triple jump at 42 feet, 1 inch, and long jump at 20 feet, 1 inch, and placed second in the high jump at 6 feet. So that's quite an athlete right there. And he's good at basketball, too. And football, actually. The senior qualified for state in the high and triple jumps, so he will be moving on as well. This week, Three Forks is back in action Thursday at the District 5B meets in Belgrade. Those are going on today and tomorrow. And finally, in Bozeman school news, quite a bit to talk about here, since they are down to the Raptors and the Mountaineers as your choice for the new mascots for the Gallatin High School that opens up in 2020. Raptors won the student vote and took second in the community vote, while the Mountaineers finished high in the community vote, but was near the bottom of the student vote. Many people around the valley are very upset about that, and they don't think the kids should have that much say. They figure if the community votes for the Mountaineers, that should be the one that we go with, because the main reason I've heard is because kids don't pay taxes. We're paying taxes for this school. I say live with it, parents. The kids that go there have spoken, and that's the name that they want. And a lot of them will eventually pay for the taxes that pay for these schools, you know, after you're long and gone. It's going to be their alma mater after all, so why wouldn't they be the ones that get to choose their name? So I like the fact that it's the Raptors. I voted for the Raptors. Looks like the school colors are going to be navy blue and black. That is the most popular one, and that's the one that's been banded around out there the most. That's a good combination. Nobody else has it. Fact is, not everybody will ever agree on anything. So take what's done and move on. That's what I would tell all these parents that are upset that it's not the Mountaineers or whatever it is. If it's the Raptors, it's the Raptors. Good for that. I think it's a cool name. It's the dinosaur, not the bird. You can go a lot of different ways with your mascot. Maybe one of those blow-up T-Rexes can bounce around. I think that'd be funny. But that's just me. My son loves the idea, and he's great at making raptor noises. If he ever comes in here, I'll have him do them for you. It's kind of a nerdy thing, but he loves it, and he's actually very, very good at them. As a side note, some of the ones that were eliminated, the Timberwolves was eliminated, mainly because Three Forks already has the Wolves, and so does Glacier High School. One of the other names that was tops on a lot of them but was kicked out was the Rams. And I get it, I guess. They said it's because it's gender neutral. How can a girls' team be the Rams? Well, Red Lodge seems to do okay with it. I think Billings Central has the Rams as their thing. They seem to do okay with it. But, you know, whatever. It's a PC world nowadays, so that's what it is. Osprey was last on both votes, so it was kicked out. Mountaineers didn't get all of the committee's votes or thumbs up because they think that it establishes too much dominance, a white privilege, I think they said, white dominance of taking over the land and all that kind of stuff. Get over it. It's just a mascot for a high school. It doesn't have to be PC and everything else. So Raptors, I think, will end up winning it. Everyone can agree that's not PC because they're extinct. We'll take another quick break right now and come back and take a look at Bobcat news from the past week. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TV, food, and drink specials, you can catch all the big games located at 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. We thank them for sponsoring this drivel every single week. So let's dive right into MSU action now. First in track and field, Wyatt Thompson-Saporin of Montana State is among the top five in the individual men's decathlon standings following the opening day of the Big Sky Conference Outdoor Championships at Montana's Dorm Blazer Field. Thomas Saporin has a total of 3,627 points through the first five events of the decathlon. This took place on Wednesday. The rest of it takes place today and tomorrow. MSU Junior competed personal best marks in the long jump and high jump. Thompson Saporin finished first among competitors in the long jump with a leap of 23 feet, 3.5 inches, and took fourth in the high jump by clearing 6 feet, 3 inches, which was his best mark he's competed in as a Bobcat. Thompson Saporin took third in the shot put with a throw of 38 feet. This also earned seventh. He also earned the seventh fastest time in the 400 at 52.21 seconds and ninth fastest time in the 100 at 11.52. Thompson Saporin sits less than 80 points behind second place, but leader Dante Robinson of Portland State has 3,834 points, so I don't think you're going to catch him. Men's decathlon competition again picks up back up at 10 a.m. today at Dorm Blazer Field. Thompson Saporin and the decathlon field will open action with the 110 hurdles. Fans can keep an eye, by the way, on the meet by watching it on Pluto TV or watchbigsky.com. So if you want to check out any of the action, go to Pluto TV or Watch Big Sky, and you can watch it yourself. Tennis, Montana State senior Alex Flink earned all-conference honors for the first time in his career on Friday in Big Sky Conference. Announced, Flink from Stockholm, Sweden, completed his senior season with a 9-7 record in singles play, including 6-4 mark in Big Sky play. The most dramatic moment of his career probably came at the end when he beat Montana's Alex Kanapolovsky in his penultimate match as a Bobcat. That win sparked his team to a 4-3 win over the Grizzlies. We're better than the Grizzlies at almost everything. When are people going to realize that? Flink won three of the last four singles sets that he played. In basketball, now moving away from all the other sports, basketball, we have heard ever since the Cats hired Danny Sprinkle that the Cats need to get better players to compete in the Big Sky. We lost Lazzie last week, and after two more players are transferring out of MSU's program this week, 6'9" center Maximilian Schuker, I'm going to miss Maximilian as a name that we get to say, and 5'11" guard Russell Daniels, much easier to say, will be transferring out of the program. Schuker did not play in his freshman year for the Cats last year, while Daniels was the backup guard for the Cats last season. This leaves at least two more scholarships for Sprinkle to use on players this summer. My guess is he will look at another guard to back up Frey, if not maybe even two guards. Cats did announce the signing of 6'9" German forward Finn Fluitt to the team this last week. Finn is primarily an inside player from the videos I've watched. Not a lot of outside range, which is fine. I'm completely cool with that. I've never been a big fan of all the big, huge players and the centers and the power forwards shooting threes. Get down low and get some rebounds when you miss the three. Offensive rebounds have been horrendous for the Cats. So get some players that'll bang around down there. Daniels, I think, is a tough loss. He was a favorite in the fans' perspective, but I don't know if he could ever get over the hump and be one of those players that's going to be a primary guard or a premier guard, I guess I should say, as well, in the Big Sky. He's a good backup. I don't know if he ever was going to get to that level. Sprinkle was brought in here to shake things up and turn this program around. We heard from Nico Harrison. We heard from Sprinkle when he got here. The talent level is not there where it needs to be to compete in the Big Sky. And I think it's good that he thinks it needs to improve, and he is doing what he needs to do to make that happen, not just what the fans think are going to be best for a team or whatever it might be. So some big steps, some familiar faces leaving the program, some new kids coming in. It'll be very interesting to see the stamp that Sprinkle really puts on this team in the future. When it comes to players leaving and everything else. And I don't think this is the last player that's going to leave either. But you look at Frey, you look at Kirby down low, that, oh man, Ricketts. I couldn't even think. Layden Ricketts out of Livingston. Those are some good corner pieces. You lost some good ones last year to graduation. Hall, of course, being the best Big Sky player ever to play. But I think that that's what he's looking at now is where's the depth? Who is going to take those people's places? And I just don't think he sees those people or a lot of those people on this team. So he was brought in to do this. Let him do his work. I know some people are complaining about some of these transfers and all this kind of stuff. They complained about it with the girls, and they've been dominant forever or for quite a few years now at least. So let him get his team in place, get his kind of position going, and then judge him on what he can do. So good luck to Danny Sprinkle. I have sent him an email. Hopefully we can get him on the show in the next couple of weeks. We're also trying to work on getting Devin Kirby, my basketball man crush, on the show as well, so we'll keep you updated on that. We'll take another quick break right now. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 on the FM dial. When we get back, we'll take a look at the money that is being raised by MSU football team coming up in the next couple of years. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM, Cat Scratch Fever, which brings us right into Bobcat football talk. But first, once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. Thank you very much to Spectator Sports Bar and Grill for sponsoring our show. Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, with countless TVs and food and drink specials. Catch all the big games located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. So Cats announced their 2020 through 2023 preliminary schedule. It pretty much has the teams we're going to play in the Big Sky and some of the big names that we're going to play in the out-of-conference schedule. This includes games against FBS opponents in Utah, Wyoming, and Oregon State. These games will net the Cats $2.3 million in payouts from these FBS schools. I don't think that number includes Texas Tech, who are also playing this year or next year coming up in 2019. So I guess it is this coming up year. We get $600,000 just for playing them. Hopefully we can compete. We'll see on that. But a lot of fans want a strictly FCS schedule. I was reading on Bobcat Nation, a bunch of other places, that, you know, this is a real detriment to the Cats getting clobbered by these teams. What does it really bring? How much do we get once the payout? I'd rather see FCS schools that we have a chance against. But here's some reasonings. I think it's very important to have FCS teams on your schedule, especially right now for the Cats. You don't need it maybe in the future, but right now you definitely need them on there. Number one is, think of the players. I really think the players like playing these type of teams. And I really do think that after they play these type of teams, they end up being better in the long run. Sure, there's some injury issues. We're going to have there anywhere. We had some of our better players get hurt when we were playing Division II teams. So it happens at any time. You never know. But if you look at it, there's probably not going to be a better team on our schedule this year than Texas Tech. Even if we make it to the playoffs this year, for sure, there's not going to be. North Dakota State's not better than Texas Tech, I don't think. Utah next year, I don't think a team we play next year is going to be better than Utah. Wyoming and Oregon State, maybe, if you get to North Dakota State and some of those. But really, they're competing against those teams. And I think that's important that they like those games. You're not going to run into better teams. It prepares you better for when you play the North Dakota States. You can look and say, hey, we've played a better team than this already this year. Why are we that worried about it? So I think it's very good for the kids' perspective. When it comes to the fans, all of our fans are wanting new shiny things. They want all of the new things at MSU. They want the North End Zone bowled in and locker rooms put in there with the coaches' offices and everything else. That's getting raised for money right now. They want the East bleachers redone. They need to be redone. They look like an eyesore every time they're on TV if the place isn't packed. And they're kind of rusty. They might fall down. The East bleachers need done with skyboxes and all these fancy things and new concession areas. All you fans out there want indoor practice facilities so you can do all that things. Well, how do you think they can afford all these fancy, shiny things? You get them by paying people to build them. You have to pay the contractors. You have to pay the restaurant supply stores, J&V Restaurant Supply. You need to pay those people with money that you get from these type of games. Until we pretty much sell out, including standing room only seats, every single home game to FCS schools, that's not going to happen. You need some extra funding into these things, unless you're going to open up your pocketbook. And anybody out there that has millions of dollars that they want to give MSU to complete these projects and get them done, be my guest. I don't have the money to do it. We give as much as we possibly can in the Laird family and all that to these schools. And so if you want that, you need to play these games. Now, you're not playing two or three of them a year just to keep your budget even, but you can play one and that money can be earmarked for something else. So I really think that's important to look at. And three, these games are in areas that we recruit from regularly. You look at Utah, we recruit from the Salt Lake City area and that whole region. Wyoming, there's not a ton of, there's only one other school college in Wyoming, but we recruit from that area. Oregon, we have a ton of, some of our better players came from Oregon and Washington area. So you're getting exposure to those kids. Kids that may think about going to another Big Sky school will remember your team and how they did. Sure, you can get blown out in some of them. But other than Utah and probably Texas Tech, like I said, I don't see a blowout in a major Power 5 school that we're at any one of these. You stick around in these games, and if you can't, well, we won't be able to stick around for the NDSUs and the SDSUs either. So this is a good benchmark when you play the Wyomings and the Oregon States. If you can stick around in those games, maybe not look at pulling an upset, but you can stick around, hang in there with them. I think it's going to bode well for the program. So I think it's a great move. There's still no Division II teams on there. Dixie State is on there a couple times. I think we play at Dixie State 1 year, but I think they might play us. Yeah, 1 year there, and I think 3 years here, something like that. But they're moving up to FCS. So the rest of the games are all FCS level. We're not doing a play-in or a pay game, one of these FBS school games, and then the next week playing some Division II schlock that you're going to kick the crud out of. We're still doing FCS games. It's going to be a tough schedule. This year is pretty easy. Next year, when the schedule came out and they were looking at it on Root Sports, we play every top team. We don't get any of the bottom teams. The Grizzlies have an easier schedule than that because they play all the top teams this year. I think there was a huge mistake made by all the schools in that the Cats regional person now is Northern Colorado and the Grizzlies. So those are the two teams we will play every single year. The Grizzlies is Idaho. I think it's Idaho and us. That's the two teams that they'll play, not Eastern Washington every year or some of those. So I think that's a big miss. There's too many schools. Everyone should play everybody in the regular season. But until they can split it up in divisions or however in the heck they're going to do that, that's never going to happen. And while that can't happen, you need to have some of these pay games to be on your schedule to help out. So I think it's a great move. I don't think Texas Tech is going to be really, really winnable, but I think it's going to be winnable enough competitive enough, not winnable enough, I guess, competitive enough that we might be able to hang in there, and we get $600,000 for it. And it gets us shown in all of Texas to those kids that might not be at the Texas Tech level, but are still hell of good athletes that might now want to come up here. So the last thing I want to mention, and we mentioned it earlier, it has nothing to do with sports. It's just a little opinion on my end. The school bond levies came out and were voted for this week. Bozeman High passed all their school bond levies that were out there. Belgrade didn't. Belgrade didn't pass any of them. And these weren't big ones like we want to build a new football stadium under school taxes or anything like that. These were, we want new computers for the high school that's moving up to AA next year and is going to be with the big boys. We want new computers for elementary school. One of my very good friends, I'll just say her first name, Leslie, she commented last night, she was very disappointed in Belgrade because they're falling behind because they don't have that money to put into new computers and all the new technology that's coming out there. And I really agree with her. So Leslie, keep fighting the good fight. Belgrade, shame on you. You should do better. Hopefully they do next year. That's my show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sun that is supposed to be here.
Good night, sweet baby. See?